Bonjour and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast.
Bonjour.
Je suis Paul.
Je suis Christophe.
Sup, fools.
Je m'appelle Dan.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour tout le monde.
So, French Renault thing? Then. Yeah, I think we might have a few things to talk about with Renault. They're back.
Back!
Exclamation mark.
That's what I've written down.
That's what you've written down. You have written, Renault are back in capitals with an exclamation mark.
As a constructor.
Yes.
For 2016.
Yes. But
to everyone's surprise.
Best kept secret in the history of badly kept secrets.
I don't know anybody who's fantastic at keeping badly kept secrets.
Renault.
Yes.
And Christian Horner.
Yes. Yeah,
Fernando Alonso was pretty good at it as well.
He was.
He knew nothing about it. What did he know nothing about?
Which incident are we talking about?
He didn't know anything about the stealing of the papers. He didn't know anything about the crashing of the other teammates.
He didn't know anything about his accident at this time. Well, at the beginning of 2015, he didn't know anything about it. Sorry, I can't.
He didn't know anything about the rumours of him taking a sabbatical?
No.
He didn't know anything about what he was going to do in 2015, at the end of 2014.
then
he just turned up at McLaren's technical centre with Ron Dennis.
talking of which, anyone planning on taking a sabbatical? Quickly.
I might take a sabbatical.
Next year?
I'm denying the rumours.
Right, I'm starting the rumours.
I might do, but I don't think I will.
I'm
not taking a sabbatical, but it's not guaranteed I'll be here next year. Unless we make some serious improvements.
So, we need to podcast faster? Would that bring you back?
Better.
But GP2 podcast, GP2 podcast.
Oh, Dan, you're making a sound amateur. So, anyway, yes, Renault, the purchase will finally go through on the 16th because as of today being December the 7th, Lotus were in court for the winding up case, which then has now been delayed 9 days.
Yep.
To allow Renault time to put everything through.
Because the contracts have been signed, it's just that the monies have not exchanged.
Yes.
And you know what Christmas post's like.
Oh, absolutely abysmal. I think, you know, last posting date for checks between France and Enstone is possibly tomorrow morning.
So they're going to be bang on.
Yeah.
They're going to be quick. They had to send it like last Friday or something.
Yeah. Otherwise it's DHL and then you're at the mercy of cross-channel ferries.
Oh, good lord.
Worst delivery companies are available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, definitely worst delivery companies are available. Hermes. What?
I was going to mention no names.
No, I'm sorry, but Hermes, you are the
Andrea Moda
delivery companies. You don't even qualify as a delivery company.
Correct.
There goes another sponsor.
Absolutely.
This podcast was almost brought to you by...
Well, no, they sent the cheque, it just didn't turn up, but I got a card saying the cheque was on the doorstep.
Yeah, our listeners are going to get this in the garage.
This podcast...
Next door's garage!
This podcast was in your bin or on your roof.
Moving back to the subject...
Well, do we have to?
Renault are back, we've discussed it already.
Yeah, so...
They're also back in another team as well.
Ish.
Red Bull.
Yes.
But they're not
back... They've been playing tag with engine suppliers.
Well, they have.
Oh!
But they're not...
Contabulous.
Yeah, but they're not back in as an engine supplier, really, are they? They're there as well.
Oh, no, it's totally not a Renault.
No, it's a watchmaker. Renault have started building watches.
But what is interesting is...
No, I've got it the wrong way around, haven't I?
Yes.
Watchmakers have started building engines.
Yeah, but...
Clockwork will be faster than the 2015 car.
I would trust a Renault watch more than the tag engine.
Ah, but when McLaren had the Porsche engines in that were rebranded TAG.
In 1908.
1980. 1980
to
84. Something like that.
I didn't really think it was 1908.
Yeah, they didn't suck.
They must have done, because that was when engines had to have lots of... Sorry.
But Renault have brought in Ilmor. To design their engine and salty air.
Renault have brought in Ilmor, not Red Bull.
Yeah, because we thought it was going to be a Red Bull Ilmor thing. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, Ilmor are actually designing the engine for Renault, and then it's going to be passed on to Red Bull for Tag to tinker with.
It still could be... Tag aren't going to tinker with it because Red Bull have already said that they're just going to get the same factory spec engine as...
Well, it's going to be tinkered with under the Tag name, which is going to be different tinkering to what Ilmor will then carry on doing for the Renault-branded Renault engine.
Right.
Not I the wonder Tag if branded. Red Bull will then subcontract some Ilmor employees to do the tuning for them differently to how the Ilmor Renault engine...
Does that mean someone's going to start the car and there's going to be some guy from Tag in the at the corner of the garage when the timing's out?
Yeah.
Oh.
That'll happen. That'll happen.
You're proud of that one, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I can see that one. That would work brilliantly. Oh, you would as well, wouldn't you? Yeah, stood on the side of the Red Bull garage in a Tag polo shirt. They fire it up. No, stop, wave your arms around. Just don't wave. What's wrong? Timing's way out.
And then there's a mechanic over the other side of the garage going, this is eight races in. Eight races in, he said it every time we started a fucking car.
So, yeah, there are Renault engines in the back of the Red Bull for at least one season. Lee, did you say something about something that Mr. Mateschitz made?
Mateschitz has said that he would prefer another engine in 2017, and that's what the plan is at the minute. It's 1 year with this new engine. He said, but that plan can change depending on the rate of development of Renault. And I would imagine the availability of another engine.
It's almost like having Red Bull have been going out with a girl for a while, and she used to be fantastic, and then she's not so fantastic anymore. And she has to up her performance again before they decide whether or not they're going to spend the rest of their lives with them.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a second. You have to improve by a certain amount. To me, it seems a little bit petty from Red Bull to say, you have to get better, otherwise we're going to dump you.
We're totally going to go with whichever engine supplier we manage to get a deal with next time.
Yeah, Renault, with your watchmaker.
But
badges.
Haven't Red Bull just been incredibly petty over the whole thing all season?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but they fucked themselves. They thought that... We've said this so many times, and we're not going to go on about it loads and loads.
Yeah, we are.
We spent all this year going on about it loads and loads.
They were convinced in 2017 they were going to have a VW engine in the back of their car.
And a VW went up in smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants a VW engine in the back of their VW, or the front of their VW car now.
I don't know, it's still quite like a Golf. Carry on.
I had a Golf, a good car, actually. First one, not the second one, so much.
So Golf's Apache, then?
Yes.
Right, okay. Because where does this leave Toro Rosso? Back to Ferrari.
After 2 years with Renault.
Yeah.
But with the 2015 engine rather than 2016.
I'm really disappointed by that. Is that definite, is it?
That is what is being reported.
That's akin to Manor having this year's Ferrari engine.
Well, that's Toro Rosso, like, nailed. They're just, you know, they're not going to be competitive next year.
Well, how upset do you think Dietrich Mateschitz is about that? The fact that his B team won't be beating his A team.
You say that, but I think if, from a brand point of view, regardless of whether it's Toro Rosso or Red Bull, if they're going to go through a sticky patch with Red Bull, and they know they are, I'm sure they would prefer to have a sticky patch with Red Bull, blame Renault for it, and still have Toro Rosso up in the points.
Well, this is the thing. Like, Manor are using, or had been using in 2015, the 2014 Ferrari engine. Look how many horsepower down that was on everything, including the McLarens.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with Manor, though, was a lack of aerodynamics, which...
Yeah, they're using a 2014 car.
Oh, yeah, essentially they're using a 2014 car as well.
And a back-of-the-field 2014
car.
Yeah,
but you're still talking about, if you stick last year's engine in next year's car, you're essentially moving that car four places back down on the grid from where it should be.
Unless you stick this year's engine in next year's McLaren, then you've got four places to go back.
My next point was going to be, Manor are going to be using 2016 Mercedes engines next year.
Mm.
Against the 2015 Ferrari engine?
Well, do we know this for definite now? Because Manor were going to be using 2016 engines, because
that was the law.
That was the law. They were the regulations. And as we know, the regulations can change at the whim of Ferrari because they are the ones that
I think
any time Eric Boullier needs another.
Think Mercedes will want to put the 2016 engine in that in the manner because what a great way for them to get more development on their engine, because where they stick an engine in a Williams, they've still got those days where the Williams can hassle them a bit. They can stick Mercedes engines in that manner all day long and they are never going to interrupt the Mercedes at the front of the grid.
They shouldn't do.
They won't do. They won't even be fucking around with the Force India.
Probably not.
So.
But, of course, the regulations did say that it had to be the current year's engines that are being used, and it's kind of quietly crept in under the radar that now all of a sudden you can use last year's. So Ferrari backed out of their veto to use previous year's engines.
Yeah, but also this is going to put Haas where Manor are this year. They're using...
No, Haas are going to be using a 2016 engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, a 2015 car.
What?
No, Haas is going to be a new car.
It's 85% this year's Ferrari.
It's being made by Dallara, isn't it?
The chassis is being made by Dallara. I think all the
That's going to be new.
Yeah.
The
aero they're doing themselves.
All of the internals are 85% this year's Ferrari.
Except for the 15% that's Williams.
And the whole percent that's 2016 engine.
Yes.
So pretty much the seat is going to be a 2015
seat. 2016 seat. That'll be it.
Well, I don't know, because Grosjean might be taking his own seats with him from Renault, because Bayek has cleared his desk.
He handed back the keys.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that on
Interwebs. Yeah, when he was passing the keys over to Julian Palmer.
Yeah.
Kind of talking to Julian Palmer and going off on a tangent. Well done to Julian Palmer's little brother who won... British Racing Drivers Club Young Driver of the Year and gets a test with a McLaren.
Which is quite impressive.
Mm. It's going to be a 2016 McLaren he tests.
To be fair though, it does seem to be that if you win the... Was it the McLaren's Young Driver of the Year?
No, it was the BRDC.
BRDC, yeah, British Racing Drivers Club. Which you don't have to be British to join, by the way.
But isn't that basically what happens is that you win that, you go test a McLaren... McLaren bring you on as a development driver, and as far as a racing driver goes, that's you being dragged round to the back of the building and shot in the side of the head.
No, because David Coulthard won it.
Yeah, no, but think about Gary Paffett, that little ginger...
Oliver Turvey?
The little ginger lad that's never even allowed out of the basement.
Yeah, Oliver Turvey.
Yeah. There was another one I can think of.
Oliver Gavin won it at one point. He got to drive the safety car.
But yeah, apart from Lewis Hamilton, I would say that McLaren have probably got like the worst driver program of a big team ever. They never seem to bring anybody through.
Kevin Magnussen was okay for the first race.
Yeah.
And then got dropped like a stone.
Happy birthday.
You're fired.
You're fired.
We wait to see what Stoffel will be doing next season.
Bringing out his own line of delicious Belgian chocolates.
And going fairly fast in testing.
Yeah, to be fair, Stoffel van Dorn was the fastest in the Abu Dhabi.
We can't read anything into that.
No, but it was the only thing I wanted to say.
We're not able to read anything into it because the media weren't allowed, and all they've done is released a few photos and said that van Dorn went fastest.
Since we've got no Lotus Renault stuff to speculate about anymore, and no Red Bull engine stuff to speculate about anymore, let's speculate about the tyre test at least.
The ultra soft tyres were purple.
And fast.
Were they?
Yes. Yeah.
Purple.
Yes. We thought we were going
to... Purple in every sector?
Triple purple!
Yes. And they drove them for 12 hours. And apparently... Kimmy had a long day.
Kimmy had an extremely long day. Kimmy decided to drive round for 12 hours, or I think he was told to drive round for 12 hours, with the occasional toilet break. And
chalk ice. This is Kimmy.
And chalk ice, probably, yeah. No, no, they stopped for lunch. I don't know how this thing works. But after he'd finished his 12 hours of tyre testing, he then went in the simulator. Did a few more hours in the simulator.
Just to see the effect of a... 12-hour drive on a driver?
Probably, yeah. I think that's what it's something to do with that. No surprise, he was a bit slower after 12 hours.
But you don't slow down after 12 hours, because look at the times that Hulk was putting in Le Mans after he'd been driving for 23 hours and 59 minutes by himself.
No, he was putting in pole position lap times.
Yeah.
Get me to think after the 12 hours you got out of the car. So what do you think, Kimmy? Something strange. I feel different. You're sober, Kimmy.
I'm worried that they managed to drive 12 hours on those ultra soft tyres.
Yeah.
Did they change tyres during that?
We don't know.
They don't let us know anything.
They literally have released nothing. They had an official photographer. And I think it was just one official photographer, because all the photos that they've released are from the same position and from the same angle.
Yeah.
And they've not released any times, they've not released any data, and they just said, here are some photos of some cars driving around Aberdeen for 12 hours.
Some times.
And Stoffel Vandoorne was quickest.
Yeah, I think they did release some times, but they were nowhere near the lap times even during the race that the cars were putting in, because they weren't obviously doing race pace.
No.
Because they didn't want to wear out these tyres.
But Stoffel Vandoorne's time was something ridiculous, weird, like 18 seconds faster than the second place or something stupid.
Something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing to be read into them.
But it was the only time that McLaren had topped a session, any session, during any point of 2015.
Yeah.
Talk about leaving to the last moment. Well, they said, we won't be there at the start of the season, but watch out for us at the end.
Yeah, not after
two
the
days
season.
After.
Two days after the end of the season is a bit late. Even by Ron Dennis standards. Lewis Hamilton won.
I think you'll find we'll turn up when we want.
Well, no, Lewis Hamilton won a world championship on the last corner of the last race. They know when to turn up late.
He still won a world championship.
He did.
Mm.
He's won three. No.
Yeah, true. How many's Nico won?
None. Zero.
Yeah, that was the other thing that's come out in the news this week. Apparently, Nico says Lewis is going to have an uncomfortable winter.
Nico says Lewis is going to have an uncomfortable winter. Lewis doesn't seem to care, although he probably does.
Mm-hmm.
And Toto Wolff has said that the weakest point of the Mercedes team at the moment is a relationship between the two drivers, not with each other. But the relationship between the drivers and the team. Because if something goes wrong for one driver during a race weekend, one driver is happy, one driver is upset. The one that's upset, that their emotions spill over into the team and it affects the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as you saw during the course of the year at Twos and Fros, to which, you know, mainly it was Lewis Hamilton who had the rub of the green during the season. But towards the end, Nico Rosberg put in some great performances, and we saw a fairly unhappy Lewis Hamilton. But
I'd have said fairly hungover. But
probably, yeah. But they, Toto Wolff has basically said this tension, this, you know, it's got to stop. He stopped short of saying we're going to get rid of a driver.
But not very far short of saying we're going to get rid of a driver.
Yeah. No, he did stop short of saying it, though. He didn't actually say we're going to have to get rid of one of them. But that's a very public warning to two drivers who are almost not too big for their boots. But we discussed it last week's podcast, how perhaps it was Mercedes taking Lewis down a few pegs by looking, look, remember, we can make Nico win races if we want to.
It strikes me.
The team needs to take back control.
That's not the way to treat... that makes me sound stupid. I don't think Lewis Hamilton's the sort of person that will respond well to that.
To effectively being bullied.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, look at what happened to Kvyat when Kvyat was given the sort yourself out or you're out. And it really spurred him on to sort himself out. And he had a great season from that point.
Yeah.
I think Lewis, on the other hand, would trip over his bottom lip.
While saying the word man at the end of every sentence.
Yeah, but we did. It was, you know, with the title fight being taken out of the last few races, there was never sort of a true comparison as to sort of what would have happened. You know, I still believe if the title had been on the line in Mexico, Lewis wouldn't have gone into the pits. He'd have stayed out on that set of tyres. You know, stuff the team, I'm staying out. I'm going to take as maximum points as I can. But if they are going to look to get rid of a driver, is it because a driver has hinted that they might be thinking about going elsewhere in the future?
Maybe. Or Nico's only got 1 year left on his current contract.
Nico's only got 1 year left.
Nico doesn't want to go anywhere, does he?
Nico's in...
The only reason he'd want to leave Mercedes is because of Lewis.
Do you think he could go to Ferrari to replace Kimi Raikkonen?
No,
I think if Nico was to go anywhere from Mercedes, it would be Williams, because that's who his dad won a world title with.
And he also used to drive for Williams.
Yeah.
Haas, maybe?
That would all depend on, you know, what the Haas look like this season.
Yeah, well, I don't think if Nico Rosberg, although he's a good Formula One driver, he's not top of a shopping list.
I think he would be top of Williams' shopping list if Massa retired or if Bottas went somewhere else.
Yeah, but I think there's better options. I think that the thing with...
I think Williams would look straight away. If Rosberg was available, they'd snap him up.
But the thing is, I think there would always be a better option.
I think McLaren could be a good call. And I'm not sure I agree with you about there always being a better option. Nico Rosberg is a better driver than his results make him look like.
Maybe.
If Lewis Hamilton hadn't been his teammate these last 2 years now, 3 years, then you've got to remember as well, the first year, during the last year of the V8s, Rosberg won two races and Hamilton only won one.
I know what you're going to say. If Lewis Hamilton wasn't his teammate, he would have won two world championships.
No. Rosberg wouldn't have won two world championships. What I'm saying is he wouldn't have been as overshadowed.
No.
Unless his teammate was Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel.
But this is the thing. I think you could stick Alonso, Vettel, Kimi to a certain extent, although I think Kimi even more of a gamble. Jensen, Daniel Ricciardo... who am I missing here? Somebody else. Did I say Vettel?
Yeah.
I think you could stick any of those drivers in that Mercedes and they would all beat Rosberg.
Not to the extent, I don't think necessarily Ricciardo or...
I think Ricciardo would. I certainly think Vettel would.
Vettel would, absolutely, and Alonso would as well.
Yeah.
Kimi, I'm not sure that even Mercedes would be able to set a car up for him, because the car has to be absolutely spot on and built around Kimi Raikkonen for the car to work.
No, that's what I say. I think Kimi would be the gamble there of those people.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. I think there's always... If Rosberg was available, there would be always somebody else in the driver market that was able to beat him.
I think it's just a few bits of luck and the car slightly leaning towards Lewis Hamilton that meant that Lewis Hamilton won in 2014. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton winning in 2014 meant that Lewis Hamilton dominated in 2015. Yeah. I think if things had gone slightly differently in 2014, 2015 would have been a very different season. Rosberg would be seen as a very different driver.
Yeah, but you say that, but... I don't think things did go Lewis's way in 2014. The way Lewis won that championship in 2014, I would argue was more impressive than this year.
Well, yes, it was because of the second half of the season comeback.
Yeah, because he had all those mechanical issues in 2014, and then what? He won like the last seven races or something like that.
Every race from.
From Spa.
Every race since he got hit.
He won all remaining
races of the season.
And like that, he just obliterated him there.
But we've said this before, and I still maintain the point that Nico Rosberg is capable of winning races, but you have to handle him with kid gloves.
Yeah.
And not have Mardy toys out the pram Nico Rosberg, and he can beat anyone. On when he is mentally there.
The problem is, said the same about Hamilton.
The problem is, Nico Rosberg is probably the best number two driver on the grid. He's essentially Mark Webber or
Rubens Barrichello.
He doesn't know that. That's where the problem lies. Rubens Barrichello, all through his career, knew what he was, but I don't. I don't think.
No, Rubens Barrichello in the early years of his career was being touted as a potential world champion.
Okay, Rubens Barrichello red.
When he went Ferrari.
Yeah. Rubens Barrichello in a Jordan was basically, that was his audition to the big team, saying, "I can win you a world title."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm getting podiums in a job.
Yeah,
you can help us win many, many world titles.
Yeah, just stay second.
I think the job of a number two driver is very different to the job that Nico Rosberg does. The job of a number two driver is to hold up the people behind.
Yeah. It's to
protect your number one driver.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And just because he's fast and coming second doesn't mean he's going to be a good number two driver. Mm.
But I think, well, you pointed out before, Lee, Ferrari have always, until recently, maintained that there is a definite number one, number two driver.
I don't know, what was it with, what was it, the setup? One point with Barrichello, it was number one, number 1A. That got dropped very quickly.
Yeah, that doesn't go very well, does it?
No.
But, I mean, our Mercedes missing a trick by not having a number two driver. Because they've got the best car, and if they had a number two driver who didn't mind sitting behind Hamilton or Rosberg and just being like, yeah, you go out
in the last two
a very fast, very wide mobile chicane.
The last 2 years, not at all. Next year, if we've got Ferrari looking as close as
Can you imagine asking either driver to be a number two? Lewis, you need to be a number two to Nico. Nico, you need to be a number two to Lewis. No, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening with those two drivers. But I think maybe that's why Toto has said it, because he knows that the mentality is that he cannot have a number two driver with those two. Does he need to basically say to them, look, work for the team, or I'm going to have to get in a number two driver, and what if he's going to be gone?
But how many times have you seen it in the past with teams where, like you say, it's been a close championship, and like the second driver is, you know, Webber helped Vettel. You know, when Vettel was going to win championships, he played the team game. He might not have liked it, but he did do it. And but you can't see if it went wrong and Lewis had a load of blow-ups, you cannot see Lewis Hamilton trying to help Nico Rosberg win the championship.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hat moment coming right up.
Yo, can we not do that? I was listening to the podcast the other day and it's fucking annoying. It really hurts your ears. It's horrible.
That'll do. I'll just
turn your headphones down.
No, it sounds horrible. Awful.
I'll just do that.
Crinkle.
Yeah, I apologise, people. We didn't realise how much we were hurting your delicate earlugs.
Sorry. We do now.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hat moment. The conspiracy that McLaren gave Lewis Hamilton to Mercedes under the impression that when McLaren got good again, he went back to McLaren. Is he looking at going back to McLaren eventually? Because part of the Mercedes-McLaren split, there was a conspiracy at the time that the Mercedes-McLaren split was, yeah, okay, we've got a few years left, but I tell you what, you give us Lewis, and when you go with Honda, or whichever other engine supplier they decided they were going to go with before they decided it was Honda, if you get good and start winning again, then we have him back.
I think things went a bit south between Lewis Hamilton and Ron Dennis.
Judging by the amount that Dennis has been coming out in the press recently, finding as many different ways as possible of saying Lewis is partying too much.
I think there's there's something to be said.
And also,
that
Lewis
is something has gone west with Lewis. So with Ron Dennis and most of the human race lately.
Lately? You mean over the past 30 years or so?
Yeah. How old is he? 68
is he now? Something like that.
Most of the human race, the ones that he hasn't dropped into his piranha tank.
And also, Lewis Hamilton has openly said this year that he didn't feel as though he could be himself at McLaren. He was in a box, and if he stepped outside that box, he was quickly shuffled back inside that box because it wasn't the thing to be doing as a McLaren driver.
Yeah, but Lewis outside the box just appeared to be a bit of a twat.
And a double world champion.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think Rosberg to McLaren could be a thing in a couple of years.
I think he'd be... Would he not be too old? Well, I know they've got like the oldest drivers in the world.
He's a few years younger than Button and Alonso. Mm-hmm. They want an experienced driver. They want they want someone who's buttoned down and...
Buttoned down, yeah.
that was unintentional.
Jensen.
And he is a potential world champion.
Well...
Don't forget, in 2 years' time, he will be still be younger than Alonso was when he went back to McLaren for the start of this season.
That's true. But the thing is, with Rosberg for me, and I can't get my head... get myself away from this feeling about him. There has been better drivers than him come into Formula 1 and left without winning a race.
Remember how often he beat Schumacher?
Broken Schumacher.
Yeah, broken, like second generation.
Ralph. The time
I was going to say Schumacher at Mercedes. Yeah. He was Ralph in a Michael mask.
I mean, we're not,
he would have gotten away with it too.
Nico Rosberg.
We weren't talking about Schumacher where he was had his blistering in laps and out laps, and he was winning races just because of what he was doing around his pit strategy. We're talking about the Schumacher that as soon as they turned the lights off on him, he ran into the back of other cars.
Yeah, this is a good point. Also, it's worth pointing out as well that Nico Rosberg is actually, like, by months, younger than Lewis Hamilton even. And Lewis Hamilton's always been considered, until very recently, a young driver.
But well, it was the...
Is he 30 now?
Yeah, they're both 30. They both turned 30... this year, 2015. But
which press conference was it? I think it might have been Monza, and Lewis said, "Oh God, I'm the oldest one here."
Really? Was it Monza?
Yeah, because I think there was Lewis, Danny Rick, Will Stevens, one of the Toro Rosso drivers.
Lewis also said he wanted to retire when he was 36.
37, I think.
37 was it?
Didn't want to go any further than 37. Mm. So he's got 7 more years.
Are we going to see a 10-time world champion?
No. He's not going to win the next 7.
I hope he doesn't get boring again. If he's fighting for each of them, it'll be fine.
Yeah. If he's running away with it,
it'll be a snooze fest.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it, with Mercedes, if they do decide to go with number one and two drivers, if they can keep the momentum going they are doing, because, even... apart from Sebastian, one of his championships, I think, was in 2011, where he just blitzed it.
Yeah, he won the first half of the season, and then no one could catch him.
Yeah, and his other championships were quite, you know, they went down to the last races.
Yeah, they were still competitive.
They were exciting. If Mercedes had taken that number one and two approach for the last 2 years, that would be magnified now by the immediacy of what people like to, of people who like entertainment wise. You know, people aren't really interested anymore or on the grand scheme of things. People want things in front of them, and they want it fast, and they want it now. I don't think if there was another Schumacher era, for instance, I don't think Formula 1 would last another Schumacher era.
I think the problem with the Schumacher era was it was no fighting of titles. It was very very sort of processional era of Formula 1.
But I just think... Well, I think
the early Schumacher era was fantastic when it was Schumacher and Hill, Schumacher...
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. But
and then Schumacher and Häkkinen from 98, 99.
Then it was Schumacher from Barrichello.
2000s Schumacher. But... this is the thing. I don't think just the way things are now with everything. I think social media is a big part of it. Everything being so available all the time, attention spans have shortened, and I really don't think Formula 1 would survive that now.
I don't think it's going to need to worry about it because of the changes we're getting in 2017.
Unless somebody absolutely Schumachers it, and all of a sudden Adrian Newey. And they've got another star driver in a Red Bull. It might be worse.
Yeah, I think 2017 we're probably going to see the Red Bulls doing a lot better than we have seen.
Verstappen
or Danny Rick.
I think there'll be a bit of a reset, and I think whoever gets it right will get it right. I think you're going to get a season where you kind of know who's going to win the championship in the first race. You know, a la McLaren lapping the field.
Yeah.
You know, I think something like that will happen.
Yeah, well, McLaren was... It was in 99 they developed their car and they were like, this car is going to be fantastic. And then they realised it wasn't very reliable, so they just used their 98 car, updated it for 99 aeros and still went and won the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Braun. Like, oh, hang on, this is quite good. How good? Well, 5 seconds faster than everybody else.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it was... It was pre-season testing, wasn't it, when Jenson Button took the Braun out and nobody knew what was going on. The first timed pre-season test, it came back in, Jenson said, the car feels really good. And Ross Braun went, yeah, Jenson, can I just take you to one side of it? He actually took Jenson Button to one side and said, we're nearly 2 seconds a lap faster than everyone else, and we think they're running low fuel loads.
The interesting thing about that is, I know it's often put down as like the blown diffuser, wasn't it, for Braun?
Yeah.
But you forget that the Toyota and Williams were both running blown diffusers from the first race. Pete, you always forget that.
Yeah, but because they got
investigated at the same time when Ferrari kicked off.
Yeah.
Ferrari were like, we haven't thought of something first.
We forgot to invent it. And at one point they even said, well, we could have it if we wanted, but we didn't think it was legal, so we didn't.
Yeah, that sounds likely Ferrari.
I'm sorry, that is Ferrari. They no.
Like Red Bull with their split floor.
Yeah.
Ferrari, we haven't got one of those.
Just in a more Italian accent.
I can't do it.
No.
It's not Austrian.
We'll leave that one out. Talking of things sort of Alpine... Sauber.
Sort of.
Swiss.
Yeah, they're Swiss.
Yeah, they have Alps.
Yeah.
As well as Austria.
Toblerone?
Yeah,
that's Alpine. Anyway, 2017, Sauber Honda, anyone?
I'd rather have a Toblerone, thank you.
could be a very smart choice.
Are they allowed to do it by that point? Did Ron still get his no-no veto?
Ron given this a go-ahead, I think.
Ron hasn't disapproved.
Yeah.
Which is a tacit approval.
Ron hasn't disapproved because nobody's asked him yet. So this is a genuine go ahead, is it?
This looks like it is going to happen. So Sauber are going to be running the 2017 Reg Honda.
After seeing how they've struggled during 2015, what kind of business person goes, this seems like a good plan?
The kind of business person who says, I can get this cheap, and it might be good by then.
Or the type of business person that goes...
You mean the gambler?
We have two seats and three drivers.
Yeah, the kind of...
And we've banked three checks.
Yeah. Oh, no, didn't they have four drivers for two seats at one point? And Adrian Sutil was just like, you know what, just stuff it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested anymore.
I'm just going to go glass somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go start fighting in a nightclub. And lose friendship with Lewis Hamilton over a court case. Anyway!
Moving swiftly on, which is the sound we're going to be able to do in 2017.
Well, I think so, yeah, because the regulations changed for 2017 again, don't they? Quite severely. And... It's not a complete reset, but it's as close to a reset since 2014, basically.
Are Sauber the most in-threat team going into next year?
The what, sorry?
Are Sauber the most in...
Under threat.
Sauber, possibly Force India.
I would say Force India.
Yeah, oh, that was the other thing. There was an interview with... Dave Richards, I saw the other day.
Pro Drive.
Yeah, and he's essentially squashed the Aston Martin rumours like dead.
Oh, right.
Okay, because there was talks about them coming in and buying
Force India.
But he was saying, look, we're fully focused on world endurance. He said it takes up a massive amount of resources. For us to be in world endurance, Formula One is something. He said you have to be in all the way, or you just don't. you don't go in.
But the thing with Dave Richards is, every time he's been in Formula One, he's not been very good at it.
No, he's...
He's been very good at everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not...
But so were Pacific Racing. They were great in every other series that they entered, and then they went into Formula One and didn't even last a season.
Bertrand Gasho.
Yeah.
Giovanni Lavaggi.
There we go.
But I'd also like to think with the worst
livery ever, silver and pink. That was never going to work.
No.
With how Force India have gone over the second half of the season, they've had a good championship run. So that, and especially with the likes of McLaren being off the boil and Red Bull being off the boil and stuff like that, they've picked up more points, should be getting more prize money, and you'd like to hope...
But they don't get the prize money until 2017, do they?
For this year?
They don't get the 2015 prize money until after...
Until the end of next season.
Until the end of next season. Oh, yeah. Right, okay. So I didn't realise that. I thought they got that at the end of this year.
This was one of the sticking points in the Lotus Renault deal. Because Renault wanted...
Of course, but this has been the same with Renault before, haven't they? Last year, Renault were asking Bernie for this year's money to try and pay some bills, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I know what you mean.
But, yeah, because the new Renault might not get any prize money that the Enstone team has earned in 2015 because Bernie has already lent it to Enstone to pay off the suppliers, like the people that run the hospitality tents.
Yeah. Somewhere in that team, in the aero department especially, either somebody is being listened to now that wasn't being listened to, or somebody's being brought in because... Yeah.
The guy that uses black gaffer tape on the black part of the window, red gaffer tape on the black part of the window.
Force Indian stuff. because that team looked like a completely different team this year, because we were pretty harsh with Force India.
We were.
Well, they were absolutely abysmal in pre-season testing. They were running last year's car. There was all the stories floating around during the pre-season test about how they actually going to... Are they actually going to make it to the grid?
I didn't think they would, did I?
I don't think any of us did.
No.
This is in the days before you joined us.
Yeah.
Dan. But basically...
BD.
BD.
Before Dan.
But yeah, the first few podcasts during testing, we were just ragging on Force India non-stop about how terrible last year's car looked in this year's car's fancy dress costume. And
that awful early front wing that they had.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and how far off the pace they were. And is it actually worth them turning up in Australia?
Turned out it was.
Yeah.
that nostril design that they put out, was it mid-season they decided to change?
I'd be interested to see if that starts popping up on different cars next year.
I think it will. I think it'll be on all of the cars next year, that nostril design, because they got it wrong at first, because was it Hülkenberg snapped at Hungary or something?
Both of them fell off in Hungary.
Yeah. In Hungary, because under a certain amount of pressures with under high downforce, they snap.
Well, you've got holes in it, haven't you? So it's obvious.
There's going to be less structural integrity.
There's going to be weak points.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, careful with that. That's a load-bearing advert.
I mean, that's even if it doesn't disturb the air, for instance, obviously it's going to have a big impact, on air. It's got to. But let's just say that when everything flows over the car, you realise, it actually doesn't have much detrimental effect at all. Just removing two bits of carbon fibre from the front wing is taking weight out of it straight away, isn't it?
Not much, but
ANSI's matter.
Yeah, we're talking about them only allowing drivers to have a certain amount of fluid.
Yeah,
hang on a
second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what you're going to have, if you've got two holes, you have to make sure that they are essentially tubes. They're not just cutouts, they're essentially tubes in there. And think, but you wouldn't have that. That would be a solid piece of carbon fibre otherwise. So, not solid, but, a covered...
Continuous.
Piece. Yeah, continuous. Top piece bottom of is,
but in Idiot Aero, it's a good way to get air under the car, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's a good way to get air under the car, but you're not using more carbon fibre by cutting through and having to then blank off those inner parts rather than just being a continuous...
I see what you mean,
So it might not be...
It might not be light, it might actually be heavier.
I mean, don't forget...
There's a heavy front wing, actually, that pad.
What? I mean, don't forget...
Is the front wing that bad?
ounces on the weight of the Formula One car matter. And I keep throwing this one out there. But when Jaguar first started up, they couldn't have the colour of green that they wanted, the traditional British racing green, because the paint was too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had to reinvent British racing green with a light, physically lighter paint. Yeah.
There was another team as well, wasn't there? There was another team.
Jordan.
McLaren this year, they wanted gold, and
they had mustard yellow for three races until they developed the gold.
McLaren this year. Didn't when they changed the livery slightly,
silver
didn't they?
To black,
and it was said that the black paint was slightly lighter than what they had at the beginning of the season.
I don't think that was their main problem at the beginning of the season.
I think that there were other issues.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they did that and made a second up?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I think we joked about that at the time when McLaren were like, we've got a new black car. I think we were like, imagine if they won in Spain. I think we had to listen back to that podcast for that. But yeah. We definitely need to talk about that. And we'll talk about it a bit more in the season review as well.
Yes, which we will get around to doing next week. Now, you say a Sauber the most under threat team. I think next season it's not a team under threat of going bankrupt. It's a team more likely to be bought out by the guy that owns Circuit of the Americas.
Who?
Manor?
Well, no, whichever's the skintest. Whichever is the most desperate for cash.
Yeah, I think Manor may be under threat, but we're not really gonna know anything about that.
They can't be. They must have their they must have the ducks in a row. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed a deal for Mercedes engines.
And they must have got new investment because of most of the senior staff leaving and being replaced with new senior staff, which have obviously been parachuted in there by the new guy that's bankrolling them.
Yeah.
Although still no word on Alex Wirtz being team principal, even though they want him.
He released a statement.
Oh, has he?
Did he not publicly say, I'm not going to be team principal?
It must be hard, mustn't it? To think if you're putting money into a team, if you're looking at it as from a pure business point of view, I need to put this much in, and we need to try and turn over a profit to make the car, to make it self-sustaining.
Yeah.
That's right. How are we going to go? Oh, we're going to be fucking terrible. Like, really bad. Like, back of the grid. We'll be lapped by probably everybody. How do you work that? How do you work that to be successful?
Wouldn't it just be easier and cheaper to dig a large hole and throw your money into it?
Well,
less fun.
Yeah, he might do a Williams in the garage and set the place on fire.
Which, of course, only happens when they win races.
Yeah, we're waiting for the next Williams win to find out what the celebrations are going to be. Guys, fireworks go off outside.
Yeah. Somebody tell Pastor that. Have we got much more to cover, seeing as there's been an awful lot of news this week?
There has been. I'm just trying to... Oh, yeah, Fernando and his statement.
Oh, yeah,
completely. Yes, because he was responsible for Honda getting their act together with all of his criticisms.
Have they got their act together?
No.
Right.
Well, Honda say that they have. Honda say we know what to do.
They said
Honda,
that last year.
Hang on, lads. I got a plan.
Yeah, for now, I think they have got their act together based on being the third fastest lap.
Yeah. I'm expecting bigger things from Honda and McLaren next year. I really think I don't know if there's going to be championships, but I think there's going to be big steps.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen different reports on this, but I should have mentioned this one earlier, but according to Alonso, the car that they were running in Abu Dhabi was around 40% next year's parts.
They weren't allowed to do that, were they?
No, you're thinking of the test. The test had to be
2015 spec.
Yeah, but so if they ran it in
with next year's parts
in the race, that was 2015.
Yeah,
that's why Van Dorn was fastest then, because Alonso did the third fastest lap, as we said last week's podcast.
And whose car was Van Dorn driving?
Fernando Alonso.
which would explain everything. Thinking about it, and kind of gives hope to McLaren for next season.
I'm putting a tenner on both Button and Alonso for the championship next year. I'll lose my tenors, but
what odds are you getting
to do it? Well,
I'll put a tenner on both of them to win the championship as well.
Yeah. I don't think both of them will win it. No, that's really rare.
On each of them, then.
Some would say impossible.
To quote Alain Prost, can two of us win the world championship? And Senna went, no, I don't think so. Prost went, oh shit.
Why don't you put a fiver each way on each of them, and then if one wins and the other comes second, you'll cash in?
Because they don't like each way betting.
Well, it's called spreading your bets, Lee. It
means no, no, no. You never just stick the tip in. Never.
No, you pay the whole restaurant bill as well.
Yes. Yes. All of it.
I was talking about penis.
What you do with your penis is up to you.
Remind me never go to a restaurant with you.
Sorry, just off to pay. Jesus Christ.
It's when they have the chip put. No. So, was Fernando responsible for Honda getting their act together slating them over the radio in Japan, in their home country, at a circuit they own?
Well, the Japanese are big on honour, aren't they? And that was very dishonourable to be disgraced in Japan by their two-time world champion driver.
Yeah.
I can't believe for a second, though, that the Honda engineers weren't working as hard as they could already.
Yeah.
Had they not spotted at that point that they weren't doing as well as they hoped?
After Suzuka, that Fernando car's really angry.
Yeah. No, because what they did was they built the 2015 engine and they went, all power unit, and they went, right, this is going to be good, this is going to be great. And then when they realised it wasn't, they went, fuck, can't change it now, can we? We're going to have to wait until the end of the year to change what I got wrong. And it was explained a few podcasts ago about it's all to do with where they put their cooler for their turbo.
Mm.
They sat it within the V of the block of the V6 engine, which is not the best place for it to be. The Mercedes are sitting there behind the engine, so they know they've got to basically. That's their main problem, is taking that out of the engine block.
Mm.
But it's all to do again with the tightly packaged McLaren design.
Because McLaren want the smallest back end of the car going.
Yeah, because that's what gets fast.
Yeah.
You know, more air over the back of the car, more downforce, better grip.
I think it was something to do with, it's something that's always been in their plan since Adrian Newey left them a few years ago. Because his his resignation note, I think, said tight arse. Now, whether he was referring to the car or Ron Dennis, I'm not sure.
Next year's McLaren is going to be side pods and the top part, and then it's just going to be a sheet of paper to the back of the car.
I read an interesting thing actually about the McLaren chassis, and because we've spoken about this a few times, saying, well, if the chassis is so good, how come that in the low powered circuits they haven't been good, or you know, during the rain it hasn't been there. But the what were they, like 40 kph down, like in a straight line to other cars
at the end of the straight.
Yeah, but you're also talking about grunt as well on the way out of corners. You know, for delivering the power.
Yeah, torque
with speed comes downforce.
Yeah.
So if they're down on speed, they're just down on downforce around the whole car, regardless of how good their aero
in comparison to everyone else.
Yeah. And I just hadn't thought of it like that.
Yeah, so they're not going to be able to grip the track on the corners as well. So they have to go into them slower.
Yeah.
And if you go into it slower, you've got less grip.
And so you come out of brake earlier.
And you come out of it slower because you can't put the power down as much because you haven't got that much to begin with.
Yeah.
Bob, your uncle, you've catty armoured it everywhere.
No. They never went backwards that much.
You pure catty armoured. Yeah. Remember the celebrations?
So basically what we're saying is physics.
Physics.
Physics. Is he Mick Hackenham back? He looks like a physics teacher now.
He does. Yes, with his professor glasses.
No, well, Ricardo Patrese wore glasses when he was driving.
So did Ralph Schumacher.
Did he?
Yeah.
So did Sebastian Bourdais.
But he still does when he's going off track in IndyCar.
Does he still wear glasses under his helmet?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Are
they special prescription bendy ones? That they
so every time he stuffs it into the wall, that I think it's actually safety goggles that he's wearing under his safety goggles.
So how long?
Like a 1950s driver.
Yeah.
So how long until Lewis Hamilton wears shades under his helmet?
Kimmy probably already does.
Yeah, Kimmy. Yeah, you just can't tell.
Yeah, Kimmy's helmet's been specifically designed just to fit the Ray-Bans in because they're squarer than
the difference is. The difference is Kimmy draws eyes on his.
I'm awake on this.
I think that about covers everything that's gone on since last week.
Jorge's going to be a Formula 1 driver.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Who's going to be a Formula 1 driver?
Lorenzo.
No, he's not.
George Lawrence.
George Lawrence, Spanish George.
Yeah.
I've been having to think about that, though. You see if...
Talking about MotoGP World Champion Jorge Lorenzo claim that he's going to have a go in Formula 1.
Oh, he wants to go in Formula 1 car.
Wants to, yeah.
So basically, but if you're... MotoGP.
I want to have a go in Formula 1. Why don't I get fucking headlines written about me?
Because you haven't won the MotoGP title.
Yeah.
But why can't I?
Because you didn't get it gifted to you.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
And you're massive, if we're honest.
Yeah,
like, enough. Really tall. Have you ever seen the size of, like, just racing drivers and riders in general?
Yeah, very small.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm an inch too tall to be a jockey, but I might just be able to fit in a touring car.
We're all the same. Too tall to be racing drivers, yet too old to be wrestlers. It's rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm only 5'6". I could get away with being a racing driver. The fact that I haven't actually passed my driving test at 45 years old is beside the point.
Did he stop Verstappen? Less than 45.
I was going to say, he's a lot less than 45.
Nico Hülkenberg, 6'4" as well. So, tall racing drivers. He won Le Mans all by himself.
So, if you were to get into a Formula 1 car, you've got a chance of being fifth at some point.
I will be, yeah. But only if I was in a Force India.
And on that day, I will cheer. But, Jorge Lorenzo, so obviously he's going to have a go in a Formula 1 car. Yeah, because
publicity.
Because he can, yeah.
Yeah.
The question is, do you think Valentino Rossi, when he went, when he had to go in his Formula 1 car
in the Ferrari at Maranello,
and he was quite competitive,
very competitive,
right, do you think he regrets not doing it?
Do
you think he regrets, if he had the chance
to switch,
how many MotoGP titles has he won since that test?
One.
Maybe.
Just in general, like, do you look at the, apart from like the magnitude of switching to Formula 1, and then if you could be competitive, how fucking cool that would be for your legacy.
The thing is, he was...
But apart from that, think of the Benjamins in, the difference in Benjamin between Formula 1 and MotoGP.
The thing is, as well, he was desperate to ride for Ducati. He wanted to ride for the Italian team, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that was the point where it was just like, if he's going to make the switch, he's got to make it now. He decided to stay with motorcycle racing,
went
to Ducati for 2 years. That
didn't work. I think the other problem was when Schumacher was testing the Ferrari as well, it was slap bang when Schumacher was ripping everything apart.
I think when Rossi did his test, I think it was 2006.
Was it?
Which was when Alonso was champion, but Schumacher was just about to retire.
Right, but the...
And then Schumacher goes to test, Rossi's bike falls off, does his collarbone, and can't come back to replace Massa after his accident.
Yeah, a few years later, yeah.
But, sorry, to get back onto what my point was, do you think if Jorge got in and he was competitive, do you think that would have some sort of bearing on him?
On Lorenzo?
I think Lorenzo is probably not going to match Rossi for MotoGP titles.
Yeah.
To be the first person since Surtees to win...
Pretty big one,
a MotoGP title and a Formula One title.
Yeah.
That would be huge. That would probably, if not overshadow what Rossi's achieved...
No,
it'd put you on the same...
Oh, you're a very elite list there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and one other person.
Yeah. So
the thing is, I don't know
I'm sure most MotoGP drivers would love to do Formula 1 if they thought they had a crack at the championship.
Yeah, I think he'd be quick.
Or in Carl Crutchlow's case, if he had a crack at getting in a Renault.
Well, the thing is, I don't know what Jorge Lorenzo's extracurricular activities entail. But Valentino Rossi, for a laugh, does rallies and has competed in the World Rally Championship.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about Valentino Rossi's other extracurricular activities.
We can check this on the fly. Whatever you do, Paul, don't look this up as I say it to you. Jorge Lorenzo was in the Race of Champions, wasn't he?
Yes.
I wonder how he got on in the Race of Champions.
Against Sebastian Vettel, I think he lost.
I'm sure he lost, but I wonder how what the times were incomparable. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody was looking for this right now?
I think somebody might be looking for this right now.
That would be nice. Might be able to have a look.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a pause button so we could stop the podcast?
However, Lorenzo didn't take part because he got injured and Chris Hoy took his place.
Chris Hoy?
Who?
Yeah, that's a blast from the past.
Chris Hoy.
Team Spain? The Scottish man?
Chris Hoy, who is.
Is he a rower?
No, he's a cyclist.
Oh. Well, he was a cyclist. He now does touring cars.
Is it related to Will Hoy?
I don't know.
His dad. Ahoy.
Lorenzo suffered second-degree burns as he celebrated the MotoGP Championship in
Mallorca. Mark Marquez rubbing up against him too fast.
So they replaced him with Chris Hoy, who has made a successful switch to motor racing this year, winning the LMP3 class of the European Le Mans Series.
I did not know this! When did this happen?
Sort of most of last year.
I did not know.
Yeah, Chris Hoy has given up cycling.
Okay.
Taken up motorsport.
And is good at
endurance,
it.
And is the best European LMP3 driver.
Good
lad. So, Chris Hoy goes from cycling to Formula One.
Susan Wolf would be fuming.
Becomes the first Olympian gold medalist to win a Formula One race.
Surely? Are there any?
I can't think of any others that.
Jenson Button might yet still become the first Formula One world champion to compete in the Olympics.
He's got some stiff competition from the Brownleys. Yeah. I mean, in terms of competing in triathlon, not in terms of...
Formula One. Yes. World Championships. they did a triathlon challenge, the Brownleys and Jenson Button, as among many other people as well. I think it may have been a charity triathlon, and both Brownlee brothers, of course they won it by considerable amount. Both of them were very, very impressed by third place Jenson Button's time and thought, we didn't think anybody else would be that close to us.
I'm trying to think of anyone that's even competed in the Olympics that's competed in Formula One. The closest
Max Mosley.
The closest I can get is Davina Galizia, who was a British skier in the 60s. And tried to qualify for 3 Grand Prix in the 70s and didn't actually make it to the grid.
He mostly enjoyed the ceremonies.
He didn't know flag bearing ceremonies. Yes. Yeah. The celebrations, I think, is what we're trying to say.
His uncle liked the flag.
Yeah, so we don't know how Jorge Lorenzo did in the Race of Champions because he didn't compete.
No, but I think he'd be clever enough to make the switch if he could do it.
Be interesting to keep an eye on when he does the publicity stunt and see how it goes.
Especially if Marquez gets a decent bike again and starts ripping people up, might be time to jump sports.
We'll save that for another podcast. And 2 less wheels than this one.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we'll be back soon with a review of the season.
Yeah.
Which we've been promising all season.
Well,
since the end of it.
Since the end of it. Like last week.
Yes.
Yeah. So until next time, we'll see you soon.
Peace out. Bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Goodbye. Au revoir.
Au revoir.